monitoring mechanism in Yemen and have effectively given Saudi Arabia and the UAE carte blanche to commit rampant, horrific human rights violations in the country. In October, the UN Human Rights Council voted to disband its eminent international and regional experts on Yemen group. It was the first time that the United Nations top rights body had rejected a draft resolution since it was founded in 2006. The resolution brought forward by European nations and Canada was defeated by 21 votes to 18. The removal of this crucial human rights investigative body took us back to unchecked horrific violations, the Norwegian Refugee Council's country director, Irene Hutchinson, lamented in a statement. According to a recent report by the Norwegian Refugee Council, the civilian death toll in Yemen has almost doubled since the United Nations rights body dissolved its monitoring mechanism in the war-torn country. In the 4 months before the end of the human rights monitoring, 823 civilians were injured or killed in the war. In the 4 months that followed, there were 1,535 civilians, according to data from the Civilian Impact Monitoring Project. During the same period, 39 times more than of the civilian casualties were caused by airstrikes. By supporting the Saudis and UAE, President Biden not only has abandoned promises he made after first taking office in January 2021, but is also fueling the war and aggravating Yemen's retaliation against its aggressors. According to Yemeni officials who spoke to Min Press, Biden did not need to supply his allies with weapons, intelligence, and training if he cared about the Saudis and Emiratis. They said, to end the brutal war and keep his allies safe, Biden should dictate to his friends to stop the war and lift the blockade. In return, the Yemeni attacks will stop immediately.
Start. Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
I am a Muslim. Islam I be. Allah my Lord. His word Quran. Muhammad prophet. Praise be upon.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, sisters and brothers, men and women of all ages, hope you're doing well wherever you are. Just take a very special care of your health. Well, this is Arab English Radio. Right now, you're listening to a new episode of your most desired station, the one and only Youth Station. As usual, we're here to provoke thoughts on some very crucial issues. I am Asma, and I'm more than happy to be your host.
And yes. This is Zainab, and I am Asma's co-host today.
Yes, thank you for being here. I'm so happy to be here with you again.
I'm always glad to be with you, Asma.
On Youth Station. We're with you again. Zainab, what we talked about the previous session?
Well, Asma,
just to give a recap to our friends.
Well, Asma, we talked about a lot of things. We were talking about life.
Some very interesting issues.
Yeah, very interesting. I think we need to talk more about that.
To slower down life and living.
A first life. And we got some verses from Quran where we said that Allah says that you aren't lost. He swears by time. And then is he pushing us to go towards like be a rushing personality? And then at some place he says that man is a creator of haste and rush.
So we came to the point that rush is good and bad.
Yeah, we didn't come to the conclusion. Yeah. You know, Asma, since I talked about verses, some other verses are coming into my mind. I guess it's in Surah.
Yes, share them with us.
Of course, it's in Surah Mulk, I guess, verse number 10, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I would want listeners to check that again.
Yeah.
Allah says, had you listened, had you used your intellect,
mm-hmm.
you would have not been among the companions of a blazing fire right now.
Yes,
like you
true.
Would have not been, we say, Ahle Jahannam.
But how do you relate that to being in a haste?
Had you listened, like, had you given this a thought, had you used your intellect,
mm-hmm.
doesn't this tell you that don't make haste? Listen to this thing, listen to something, like, concentrate on it, think about it. Don't you think Allah is telling us indirectly, mm-hmm. don't make haste in your decisions? He is saying, had you listened?
Yes.
Had you, you know, contemplated on that thing? Had you used your intellect?
So
listening and using your
you
intellect.
You just say that contemplating means being at peace and not going, rushing into things.
Not rushing into things. We have so many other words like narrations. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, the more you make haste in a thing,
mm-hmm.
it is accompanied. Your haste is always accompanied with slips. You'll fall.
Yes, of
you'll
course.
Fall. Even we have this famous proverb that says, haste has a certain fall. But it's from Imam Ali. Imam Ali al-Islam says, if you make haste in things, it will be accompanied by a fall, by mm-hmm. a slip.
But you know what, Sister Zainab? Also, Imam Ali says that chances would run like the clouds go away in the sky, you know?
Yeah.
So you have to go with the right deeds very quickly and rapidly, you know? You shouldn't waste time.
We have to
so
basically
we should not
look.
Waste time, and at the same time, we don't have to be in a rush. How
yeah.
do you justify that?
I think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the book, if mm-hmm. he's in our instruction book, in the Holy
yes.
Quran, if he's telling us that at one point of time, I made you a creature that's always in haste and rush. I don't want you to waste time. But at certain places, he's saying, I wish you had listened. I wish you had used your intellect.
Yes.
I wish you had pondered on things.
Mm-hmm.
You would have not been in the blazing fire. So Allah is trying to say us, do haste in certain things and do not haste in
yes,
certain things.
Yes, as we
things.
Talked about, you know, moderation. Just
yeah,
don't go in one extreme way.
Exactly.
Go with moderation. We were
you know,
talking
I think,
about
I
the...
think even if you want to make
yes.
haste in good deeds. Like,
exactly.
You know, have you seen Asmadi's messages going on? Maybe these fundraising pages, they say, these fundraising pages
what
come.
What they say?
They say they come and say like... we would want to help this cancer patient or this person or that person.
Yes.
And in those donations, if we make haste,
yes.
I don't think we are in loss or we're doing something bad.
Of course.
Or like we are doing a bad decision or Allah will say tomorrow to us,
they
I wish you
our
had listened, I wish you had given it a thought and all.
Yes.
We must always rush to do good deeds, especially to help people.
Mm-hmm.
But there are also at the same time fundraising pages that are fake.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
When we talk about just lowering down the pace of life, we don't actually mean that just forget about being in a haste or rush.
Yeah.
Let's talk about it in this aesthetic way that says when you are pondering on life more and more, life becomes more meaningful. You know,
yeah.
try to involve yourself in things that are bringing you peace.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We talked about nature. We said one of
we
the things.
We talked about nature in last
yes.
episode, yeah.
One of the things that makes us slow down a bit and sit and think is nature. And the other part, I think, is our lifestyle in a whole, you know?
Yeah,
when
yeah.
we are prone to too much of noise and too much of a crowd,
yeah.
I think we unconsciously tend to be more in a rush, you know what
yeah.
I mean? But the environment we choose is more peaceful, like, you know, reading books, like going to nature, like finding refuge in things that are very much delicate.
You know, Asma, I think this is time that has become our great enemy right now.
Yeah.
We are so much in rush. We are so much busy just because we think that the time is flying. The time
and
is flying.
And it is flying, you know?
It is undoubtedly flying. But since it's flying, my life is also flying.
Yes.
My life is going. I'm losing my life. So why don't enjoy each and every moment of it? I mean, I just remember an incident. One of my friends said that she was working on her laptop and she used to work a lot, work a lot.
Workaholic she was.
Yeah, I was like, I was very, very young. And then I saw her so busy in work, so busy in work. And I remember shutting down her laptop, holding her hand, taking her back and moving on a flyover when it was raining.
Mm-hmm.
And till this day, we do not forget that day. That we
it's unforgettable. Yes, those things we do are very good.
Yeah, like, I mean, she hardly remembers what work she was doing on the laptop at that moment. But she can never forget that walk in rain that day.
Yes.
It takes us back to nature. Nature takes us back to Allah. The order in nature, the more we ponder on nature, we see the order, the sequence, and then you start thinking, wow, who created this? Such
Zainab,
a sequence.
Do you think if we slow down the pace of life and if we ponder on more beautiful things and have a more peaceful life, we would not accomplish more?
I don't think so. Yeah, that's true. You won't accomplish more. But basically what you're doing, you're accomplishing more. Do you think you are gaining? It's the economic system you're benefiting.
Yes,
it's not yourself
true.
You're benefiting.
The thing that the things that have been imposed on us, it's not our true self, you know?
Yeah.
The things that we feel the pressure by the society or by the social media, perhaps. We feel like we have to do things. We have to do many things in our life.
Exactly.
While we forget that we are human beings. And being a real human being that is according to Allah's rule is enough, I think.
Yeah, being a human being. Exactly. Otherwise, we are as good as animals if we do not use our intellect.
Mm-hmm. That's
because
very true.
That intellect, it's our intellect that's, you know, kind of making us different from animals and other creatures. So using that intellect in a particular way, in a proper way that Allah has instructed in Quran, I think that's how you have not wasted your time. As you rightly said, being human is important.
Yes. Just for those who right now joined us recently, we're talking about slowing down the pace of living.
After all of us have to die, you know, we have to go back to Allah.
That's very sad. When you think about that point, the point that says the road ends with death.
Yeah.
Of course, another journey would start, but living becomes more... You know, you feel like I wish I could have felt life more and more.
Then you start living more fast. Then you start, you don't actually start living more fast. You start doing more productivity.
Exactly.
You start making more accomplishments.
Yes.
But, you know, amassing degrees or amassing your experiences does not mean you lived. Maybe you have not enjoyed each and every second of your life. Sometimes, I would like to say, sometimes the smile of a kid at your home is so beautiful.
Noticing those things is very important, Dana.
Exactly.
Sometimes we are devastated in the rapid pace of life in a way that we forget to notice those little things that matter the most. You
exactly.
know? Like the change of seasons, like, as you said, the smile of a kid
at home.
Like the aging of your parents. You do not notice it unless you ponder on it.
You do not aging yourself.
No, the people you love the most, you know?
Yeah.
Your dearest ones. You
exactly.
don't notice that you're a little brother or sister or siblings.
All this discussion does not mean that we have to slow down our life in such a... Make
not
it
a
very,
tiring
very slow.
Way. Not
a very tiring way. No, actually, wasting time is
wasting
really bad.
Wasting time, yes.
We should not waste time. Time mm-hmm. is precious. Time is flying. Our life is going. But at the same time, if I do not eat anything, if I do not wear anything, mm-hmm. still I'll save all the money. What next?
Yes, what next?
What next? Why? Why am I tiring myself so mm-hmm. much? Why don't I spend this time with my parents? Why
you
don't
know,
I spend this time?
You know, as you just
time?
Said it, we yeah. don't have to slow it down in a way that it becomes so tiring and,
exactly.
and sometimes
boring.
Disgusting and boring.
Yeah.
But we just have to... Every day, devote a specific time in order to feel life more and more.
And you know, sometimes, apart from nature,
mm-hmm.
just sitting on your prayer mat.
Yes, yes.
In silence. Or just going to shrines as we are here,
yes,
you know,
yes,
luckily in
true.
Such a holy place. Going to shrines and sitting mm-hmm. in some quiet place. And then talking to Allah.
When we are on a holy journey like Arba'in,
yeah.
it feels like you are another person. I love that person I am because
exactly.
there is
you,
nothing in my mind.
Especially,
I'm free and I feel like I'm flying.
Since you go to this journey, this holy journey,
mm-hmm.
you know, everyone with
you understand
love
many
is coming with free
things.
Food.
Yes,
you have, you're meeting people without any borders.
Yes.
You're meeting so many people from so many different countries. You have so much unity.
No
you
borders,
see so much brotherhood.
No fears, you know.
Exactly.
It's all freedom and it's all very
freedom.
Good. Like
and
you're in utopia.
There's just one thing in everyone's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Love for Hussein.
Exactly.
That's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. That makes
the
this
thing
journey,
that gathers us together.
Yeah, that brings us so together. Mm-hmm. And that's the moment, you know, when you're like, you feel like life can move on without jobs as well.
Exactly.
Life can move on without
that's
cooking as
true.
Well. If you change your routine, life can move on, really, yeah.
Yes. I enjoyed it a lot. So try not to be in a haste. Life is moving true, time is flying true, but you have to devote some special time for your own self as well.
Because life is also moving on,
yes.
your life is also flying.
Your soul
is
very important.
I will suggest, my dear listeners, never think about passing or failing in life or in any of
exactly.
your exams. Just think about how much efforts you put in that
yes.
work.
How much human you are.
Exactly. How much hard work you did.
That
basically.
Is the thing that counts. Because in the end of life, we are judged by the amount of humanity we have in our heart.
Exactly. Asma, I think we will not stop. We'll carry
yes,
on. But
exactly.
I think we need to bid a farewell
yeah.
to our audiences. So from my end, dear listeners, I bid you a farewell. Take good care of yourself. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. And I was
this
discussing
was Youth Station.
With Asma. Go on.
Yes. So thank you for listening to us. Zainab said everything. Thank you for doing it in my place. So until another session, we bid you farewell. May Allah be always on your side.
In the limelight.
According to reports, the Israelis are flabbergasted and scratching their heads, while their godfather, the super terrorist US, is as clueless as it was in July 2019 when Iranian defenses downed its most sophisticated and costliest drone that had tried to violate the Islamic Republic's airspace. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Kayhan International staff writer. This article is published under the heading, Faith-Based Technology Baffles Devilish Forces. Stay tuned for more. It was the triumph of faith over faithlessness. Technology based on faith works wonders, and no matter what supposedly sophisticated equipment the faithless use, they cannot succeed. This was fully evident on Friday, February 18th, when a drone flown by Lebanon's legendary anti-terrorist movement, the Hezbollah, successfully completed its reconnaissance mission over the northern parts of occupied Palestine and returned safely to base with vital information by deftly evading the missiles fired by the racist terrorist entity, and the jets it scrambled in vain to try to down it. Indeed, this is a feather in the cap of Hezbollah, which definitely does not content itself with past laurels, but with complete trust in God Almighty is determined to upgrade its technology by leaps and bounds to shatter the so-called Iron Dome of the enemy and pierce the U.S. Patriot missile defense system. As Secretary Syed Hassan Nasrallah has said, Hezbollah is ready to export its latest defense product to qualified importers, some of whom have already booked orders. Good news for all those striving for peace, stability, freedom, justice, and self-dignity in West Asia, ranging from the Palestinian struggles to Yemen's popular Hezbollah movement. More game changers are in the offing, and without the least doubt, Syria, which is the frequent butt of Israeli terrorism, will find the rapidly developing state-of-the-art defense technology by its allies in Lebanon a welcome means in its arsenal to not just shoot down the Zionist projectiles, but to carry the battle to the enemy camp. According to reports, the Israelis are flabbergasted and scratching their heads, while their godfather, the super terrorist U.S., is as clueless as it was in July 2019 when Iranian defenses downed its most sophisticated and costliest drone that it had tried to violate the Islamic Republic's airspace. The Axis of Resistance has made it clear that the U.S. occupying forces should not just leave Iraq and Syria, but the whole region, including the entire Arabian Peninsula, as well as the waters of the Persian Gulf, the Gulf of Oman, the Red Sea, and the Arabian Sea regions. This means CENTCOM terrorists are living on borrowed time, no matter if they hold naval exercises involving such strange bedfellows as the Israelis on one hand and the Saudis on the other. As for the Zionist entity, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah did not mince words when he asked the racist terrorist Israelis to leave Palestine and return to their original homeland in Europe in peace. If not, they will be forced to leave and should not blame the faithful for the calamity they are bringing upon themselves by attempting to prolong their precarious existence in Palestine, coupled with blatant interference in the affairs of several Persian Gulf reactionary states. Therefore, coordinated efforts should be made to upgrade faith-based technology, as Iran has shown with its affairs turn challenges into opportunities over the past four decades. It is time the Zionist entity realized that it is on self-destructive course.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave radio, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 41 meters, 7,300 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 49 meters, 6,040 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day from 1920 to 2020. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, making role models. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the topic of making role model in training kids, when we are training kids in the Islamic lifestyle. It is said in the Islamic teachings that it is necessary to make some role models for our kids in order to train them according to the Islamic teachings. The way we choose our role models, they should also choose it. But obviously, if they know about the qualities of a role model, if they know the criteria of choosing a role model and what should be the criteria and how they should choose a role model and whom they should choose a role model, then it is very easy for them to follow the Islamic lifestyle. Generally, we leave our kids on their own. They socialize with their classmates in the school. They socialize with the neighbors outside in the street. And what they do is, whatever they see others doing, they start following them. For example, if a film star or a singer or a footballist or an athlete or anyone who's been popular and everyone is trying to make their like hairstyles like him, or following the way they clothe and the way they talk, the way they sing. So our kids, because they're socializing with such people, they also learn and they make such people their role model. Where we should make a role model for them, where when the father is the role model for the boys in the house and the mother is the role model for the girls in the house, when they are very little, when they're attached to the father and mother, that is the time to show that if we are the role model, we should live according to the Islamic lifestyle, according to the Islamic teachings, so that they follow us. And we should introduce the role models that matches to the environment of the house that we have so that we can have them following the footsteps of Islam, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of making role model for our children when we are talking about the training the children. And it is necessary to observe whatever we want them to observe, to follow whatever we want our kids to follow. So when we want our daughters to, for example, do a kind of hijab or veil, the way maybe there is a lady who we see like in our society who observe hijab very well, it is necessary for the mother to observe the hijab in the same way. If the mother is not observing the hijab and she wants her daughter to observe, this formula or this thing will not work. Obviously, we need to practically show what we do. Let me just give you an example from my practical life is that if you have seen it happens in many houses. In many houses, it has happened, and it's my personal experience. And other scholars do also have observed this, had this experience. Especially those who pray regularly, they have seen that when we pray at home, we can see that as soon as our kids they become a year old or 1.5 year olds, when they can walk or they start walking or they can stand next to you, whenever you stand on the prayer mat to pray, they also stand next to you. They also follow what you do. If you bow in the prayer, they bow. If you raise your hands for the qunut or do dua, they also raise their hand. If on the dinner table, if you have the habit of reading the supplication, Allahumma rizqna rizqan halalan tayyiban wasi'a, or any other supplication, they also in their own language, they also say something which shows that they are also praying at that time. So basically, we need to follow the Islamic teachings first so that we can have our kids following the same teachings. And we as a parents are the role models for our kids first. And then there is another one. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thanks for listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/EN Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In the limelight.
In the United States, where inflation is at its highest in four decades, the latest chatter on Wall Street is that the U.S. Federal Reserve will take every opportunity to raise interest rates. This will happen between now and the end of the year. We have prepared for you an article written by Larry Elliott under the heading, Central banks should be cautious in calibrating a response to inflation. The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. Central banks are getting twitchy about inflation. Cost of living pressures are rising just about everywhere, and the relaxed mood of last autumn has been replaced by an urgency that could soon become panic. In the United States, where inflation is at its highest rate in four decades, the latest chatter on Wall Street is that the U.S. Federal Reserve will take every opportunity to raise interest rates between now and the end of the year, seven times in all. Inflation figures for the United Kingdom were out on Wednesday, 16th of February, and even though little change is expected this month from the 5.4% recorded in December, further increases are expected by the spring. The Bank of England forecast should be taken with a pinch of salt because they have been wrong for the past year. But for what it's worth, Threadneedle Street now predicts inflation to peak at just over 7%. The Bank of England and the US Federal Reserve are getting stick for waiting so long before taking steps to rein in inflation. It is said the United States and the United Kingdom economies are overheating as the threat from the pandemic recedes, one reason being that central banks have delayed putting up borrowing costs. This might seem a compelling argument, but the idea that the United States, the United Kingdom, and the big economies of the Eurozone are in the middle of a rampant boom doesn't square with the facts. Officials claim the fastest growing G7 economy over the past 2 years has been the United States, where output has increased by 1.5% on average. The next best performing country has been France, where economic growth has averaged less than 0.5% a year. Britain's output is 0.4% below its pre-pandemic level, while Germany and Italy have still more ground to make up. So where is the inflation coming from? The answer is that prices are rising more quickly than they were because of supply-side pressures. As economies lifted restrictions and demand has returned to more normal levels, although not boom levels, severe bottlenecks have emerged. Everything from computer chips to natural gas has been in short supply, and that has pushed up inflation. This was the explanation the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of England trotted out last summer and autumn when price pressures first started to bite, and it was broadly right. Yes, they said interest rates would need to be raised from their emergency levels, but there was no great urgency because their economies were still operating short of where they would have been in the absence of COVID-19. In any event, increasing the cost of borrowing would have zero impact on global energy prices. The Bank of England had an additional problem, which was that Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, removed some of the support the Treasury was providing for the economy last autumn. With the benefit of hindsight, the end of the furlough did not lead to the feared rise in unemployment, but there was no way of knowing that at the time. As a result, the bank's Monetary Policy Committee responded to the Chancellor's tightening of policy by keeping interest rates lower than they might otherwise have been. As the National Institute for Economic and Social Research pointed out recently, it would have been preferable had policy been the other way round, with a less aggressive approach by Rishi Sunak providing space for the bank to raise interest rates modestly. The Bank of England and the US Federal Reserve subsequently realized price pressures were more acute than they had predicted, while unemployment fell more quickly. This raised concerns that workers would use the bargaining power provided by a tight labor market to secure higher pay awards. If, say, an annual inflation rate of 7.5% in the United States led to salary increases of 8%, a wage price spiral redolent of the 1970s would then set in. In the short term, inflationary pressures are likely to persist. The first 3 months of 2022 will be an echo of the last summer, as restrictions are lifted and economies open up. Those people who have built up savings during lockdown now have cash to spare to buy a new car or book a foreign holiday. Firms will have trouble filling vacancies, while energy costs will remain high as long as there is a tension between Russia and the West over Ukraine. The cost of a barrel of oil is already closing in on $100. Things look a lot trickier from spring onwards. In Britain, energy bills and taxes both go up in April, and it will become clear to many workers that their wages are not keeping up with inflation. Cost increases that were initially inflationary will turn deflationary as they add to costs for business and squeeze consumer spending power. Recently, thousands of university workers in Britain have gone on strike in a dispute over employers' policies and pensions, pay and working conditions. The University and College Union, UCU, said in a statement, on day one of the strike planned for coming weeks, large number of university workers on Monday, 14th of February, formed picket lines in Glasgow and London, chanting slogans, playing music and holding DIY banners. The University and College Union said the staff of 44 universities, including the Universities of Cambridge, Leeds and Edinburgh, are joining the strike this week to protest brutal pension cuts. In coming days, 50,000 staff from around 70 universities are expected to walk out over the employer's proposal, which would see the average staff member losing 35% of their retirement income. The University and College Union General Secretary, Joe Grady, who joined the picket line at the University of Strathclyde in Glasgow, acknowledged the great support from students. Joe Grady remarked, "The response from students has been overwhelming, and I want to thank every single one of them for standing with us." Grady said the University and College Union has put forward several compromise proposals, but the university employers have failed to accept any of them. Referring to thousands of University and College Union members who have joined the strike, she said vice-chancellors should not doubt the resolve of our members, who are determined to stick this out and win what they deserve. Regarding the pay dispute, the University and College Union is demanding a £2,500 pay increase, as well as action to tackle unmanageable workloads, pay inequality, and the use of insecure and exploitative contracts. The development comes on the heels of a recommendation by the Universities and Colleges Employers Association, UCEA, which said the university should dock 100% of pay for staff who work to rule as part of the forthcoming industrial action. Joe Grady complained, "It is outrageous that when they should be trying to resolve this dispute, employer representatives have instead been finding new ways to deduct pay from university workers." She added, "Rather than punishing the workforce, these so-called leaders need to look in the mirror and ask why students support staff taking strike action and why their own workforce is so demoralized." The strike, which is the latest in a long-running dispute, has caused disruption to normal activities of the country's largest universities. In late 2019, the University and College Union staff at 60 universities initially went on strike, which grew to 74 institutions in a second wave of strikes in February of 2020. Against this backdrop, the Bank of England needs to calibrate its response carefully, as does the US Federal Reserve. Central banks clearly feel their credibility will be at risk if they allow inflation to take hold, and that means more aggressive approach to interest rates that seemed likely as recently as late last year. There is a way that central banks can emerge with their credibility intact if they are right in believing inflation is currently a supply-side problem. Only a limited tightening of policy will be needed. Inflation will come down with only a small increase in unemployment. The Bank of England and the US Federal Reserve will then be the heroes of the hour. Of course, there is an alternative scenario in which central banks act tough but still damage their credibility, which is what will happen if they add to the pain already coming the way of their economies through interest rate overkill. The growing risk of that would quickly turn the recovery of early 2022 into a recession of early 2023.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is the part of the speech delivered on June 3, 2016 by Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, on the occasion of 27th anniversary of Imam Khomeini's passing. The speech was delivered at Imam Khomeini's shrine in Tehran, Iran.
As we clerics say, there is a room for degrees when it comes to who is revolutionary. It is possible that a person has better conduct when it comes to revolutionary concepts and activities, and that another person does not. But the latter is taking the same path. If we accuse any person who does not have the great and complete performance of being a non-revolutionary and anti-revolutionary, this is a mistake. It is possible that the value of a person's movement is 100% and the value of another individual's movement is less. But both are taking the same path. The important thing is that the movement should be in line with the revolutionary criteria. The important thing is criteria. The important thing is that even a person who does not move forward in a completely resolute manner should have revolutionary criteria. If these criteria exist, then that party is a revolutionary one, no matter if it is an individual, a group of individuals, or a government or organization. The main point is that we should know these criteria.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
There are specific criteria for being a revolutionary. I'd like to mention five criteria during this meeting. Of course, more criteria can be mentioned, but for the moment, I will mention 5 criteria for being a revolutionary. We should try to have and preserve these criteria wherever we are. A person might work in art, another might work in an industry, another might work in politics, another might be involved in scientific activities, and yet another might be involved in economic and commercial activities. It does not make any difference. These criteria can exist in all Iranians. These are the 5 criteria which I will expand on later. A commitment to the main principles and values of the revolution, aiming at the ideals of the revolution and making great efforts to attain them. The commitment to the independence of the country in all areas, showing sensitivity in the face of the enemy and the enemy's plots. The 5th criterion is religious and political piety, which is very important.
You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Round the world with reporters.
Cleaning up the mess left behind by Storm Eunice that battered the UK this week. With record speeds of nearly 200 kilometers per hour, much of the country from Scotland to England felt the force of the storm's temper. Footage posted to social media showed trees fall, history be realigned, railway travel disrupted, planes struggling to land, iconic landmarks damaged. The capital, London, issued its first ever rat severe weather warning. Here, too, authorities asked residents not to leave home.
So the message to Londoners is, whilst the Met Office has the red weather warning, stay indoors. A storm Eunice is the worst storm we've faced in 3 decades. It's really important we don't inadvertently put ourselves in harm's way by being outdoors.
Many heeded the warning and stayed home. Others did not. 3 people were killed.
One of those killed, a woman in her 30s, traveling in a car with a man of the same age here in North London when this tree fell onto their vehicle, killing her but sparing her partner.
Eunice knocked out electricity for tens of thousands of households on its path. The government had already been warned that the UK lacks the resilience to deal with storms, particularly in terms of electricity infrastructure. Here in London, there is a sense of worry about what's to come next.
I guess you're just not really used to it happening, and I guess it's just one of those things that's going to happen more often, and we need to do more to be prepared to deal with them.
I'd say it's quite concerning because it kind of makes me think of the bigger picture of where the entire climate is headed, where we're headed as a species.
Everything was just in disarray. It was crazy and chaotic, and yeah, I know a lot of people felt scared.
Eunice was predicted to be the first storm in 30 years and certainly won't be the last. The clear-up phase is well underway now, but the wider debate about the state of the UK's resilience against storms is only just gathering pace. Saeed Pereza, London.
A
On Friday, school pupils held protests in over 40 cities across Italy demanding the government to put an end to obligatory work placements in the last 3 years of school. The demonstrations were staged after a student, 16-year-old Giuseppe Lenoci, died in a road accident on Monday while he was on board a truck for a school work internship. Last month, another student, 18-year-old Lorenzo Perrelli, was crushed to death by a steel girder of 150 kilos while working in an internship for a private company.
È una vergogna.
They should be ashamed. School principals should be reported to the authorities for striking deals with private companies without being provided assurances on working conditions in factories. They have been reckless and should be punished.
Lavoro non pagato, praticamente sfruttamento.
Schoolwork internship is equivalent to unpaid work. It is just another form of exploitation. In most cases, it doesn't give anything to students. It only helps companies make more profit.
About 3,000 students gathered in central Rome demanding the government to remove the education minister and scrap obligatory work experience programs for high school students introduced by former Prime Minister Matteo Renzi in 2015. In Turin, tension and anger went out of control when a group of students tried to break into the local headquarters of industrial employers group Confindustria and were repelled by police with some batons being wielded, with at least 7 officers being hurt.
We are staging protests also to raise awareness over our living conditions as young adults. Our generation is suffering greatly also from the anti-COVID measures, which restricts our freedom to move, to interact socially. We are left alone with our phones following school lessons online, with our psychological scars, and the government is not doing anything to help us.
School dropout levels in Italy are among the highest in the EU, and due to the pandemic, with the government quickly deciding to make all learning remote. Also, the cases of social withdrawal and self-harm among young people are on the rise, healthcare professionals are warning. In the past 2 years, and especially in recent months, Italy has been the scene of protests across the country. Rallies have been held against deteriorating living conditions, mandatory vaccination and health passes, as well as what the protesters describe as the government's mismanagement of the COVID pandemic. Max Civili, Rome.
Dozens of Nigerian Muslims, mostly supporters of prominent cleric Sheikh Ibrahim Al-Zazaki, demonstrated in Abuja to condemn Saudi Arabia for the war on Yemen and its continued blockade of the impoverished country. They said the bombing of civilian targets by the Saudi-led coalition and its siege on Yemen has caused a serious humanitarian situation there.
A coalition of Saudi Kingdom and that of United Arab Emirates, we are launching a strike on the innocent people of Yemen. They have been killing a lot of women, children, men, and everywhere, at their houses, at their business places, hospitals, schools, everywhere. Nowhere is safe in Yemen. They are killing, and the world is silent.
The Saudi war has escalated recently as Riyadh has intensified its aerial and ground attacks, worsening the humanitarian situation in Yemen. The protesters said the ultimate goal of Saudi Arabia is to reinstate the former Yemeni president.
They want to return Mr. Hadi back to power. You can't return somebody back to power with killing those people you want him to come and rule. You are killing them and you want him back to come and do what? What is he coming back to do? To come and rule who? Innocent people or dead bodies?
The protesters said human feeling should prevail over the intrigues of the power struggle on the situation in Yemen. They added that the senseless shelling of innocent civilians in Yemen must stop, while the international community has a moral responsibility to put a stop to the carnage. Danjum Abdullahi, Abuja.
A new report, an assessment of the British government's widely criticized multi-million-dollar-a-year counter-extremism strategy known as PREVENT, first introduced after the 2005 London bombings.
The People's Review of PREVENT essentially puts forward the voices of those who have been impacted by PREVENT, as opposed to the government review, which is speaking primarily to people who are in receipt of Prevent funding and essentially have a vested interest in having more Prevent.
Millions of those funds are being injected into areas with 73% Muslim populations, codenamed PPAs, Prevent Priority Areas. The British government dismisses all criticism of its strategy and claims Prevent is a vital part of their counterterrorism work, which safeguards vulnerable people from being drawn into terrorism since 2012. The authors of the 65-page People's Review of Prevent think otherwise.
It hasn't been vital, and I think many people, not just community groups, not just human rights,